You had a great interview with Mark Tamberger. Did anything jump out at you and you said, I wouldn't have thought he'd say this, Elliot?
I think the thing that surprised me the most, because I probably should have thought about it in advance, was how emotional he got when he talked about his dad. I completely forgot about his relationship with his father, how tight they were. Denis passed away in September of 2013, and for a second there, when he brought it up, I thought he was going to lose it, and he almost did. So that's probably, just from an emotional standpoint, what surprised me the most. But the thing I was most curious about is if Elliot or Alan got hurt, if he'd throw the pads on again. And he was pretty emphatic to say, no, no, I'm not.
But did he sign papers or did he not? Because
you know what? I am not 100% certain on that one. He didn't really commit on that one either way.
It's the obvious. It's the obvious question, and it's the obvious narrative we all have. Does it feel awkward to you? Are you over it, or do you look when up there? There's Martin Brodeur, and there's Bernie Federico and Brett Hall, and you're like, are you kidding me? Are we still doing this? He played seven games.
It was weird. I was walking yesterday from my hotel to the rink, and there's a building right nearby between called the Peabody Opera House. And that's when I first saw the Thank You Marty sign and
for
him in
what?
His uniform. I was stopped and I looked at it and I said, okay, this is weird. It's interesting to me to watch, to listen to the reactions of guys like Kiprios and Healy on the show. And last night I got home and I was watching PJ Stock on Hockey Central. And they were all talking about how weird it was for them to see the Devils barely mentioned, but everybody bent over backwards and we asked about it to say that Brodeur and Lamoriello have talked this one out. They're on the same page. And, it sure sounds like, from all the information I gathered, the two of them really had discussed this. And Brodeur told some of the New Jersey papers that the Devils offered him a job, but it wasn't one that would allow him to be around the team. And he wanted to stay around the team like the Blues had offered him, and that's why he took this particular job at this time.
It's funny. I always thought about Wayne Gretzky and the Maple Leafs, Elliot, and you've heard all the stories from the mid-90s how he wanted to be here. They were cutting budget around the night at the end of that Blues 18-game run, and so he signed with the Rangers, and he played three more years. But I thought, what if Wayne still put up 62 points in his final year? What if he'd come to a deal with the Leafs, played a year for Pat Quinn, gave it a run, could say that he did it? I've always wondered with the Leafs, who, let's face it, they are oft criticized for way too much looking into the past. You don't need to have a night celebrating the Hound line every year. But still, what they would have done, there would be a Leaf Gretzky 99 hanging in the Air Canada Center every night you went there. There would be.
And it would have been incredible to watch.
Oh, sure. Yeah. From on the ice and from a spectacle point of view. Yeah.
Absolutely. I can't knock. Gretzky, had an interesting one with the Canucks too. And he's talked about that before. And Pat Quinn talked about that years and years ago about how, the Canucks thought they were going to get him around the same time.
Before McNall did.
Yes.
Yeah.
Also, they thought they were going to sign him as a free agent years later. And what happened was the owner of the time was John McCaw, and the story that Quinn told, and Gretzky did say it was true, was that the Canucks had him signed at night verbally, and he said, look, I'll sign the papers formally in the morning. And McCaw got on the phone to Quinn and said, we want this done tonight. And Quinn said, well, he said he'll sign it in the morning. He's committed. And the owner said, no, we're doing this tonight. I want it formalized, no questions. So Quinn had to call Gretzky back and say, okay, can you sign? And Gretzky was like, what? I told you I would sign in the morning. He says, nope, I've got to have it tonight. And the whole deal blew up over that.
Wow.
And, so Quinn talked about that once, and Gretzky said it was true. So around the same time he was thinking about Toronto, he was also thinking about Vancouver. So there were two Canadian teams there that kind of blew their chances at getting him.
Elliot Friedman, our guest.
I've heard all this stuff about Gary Bettman being very unhappy about the expansion talk, and he poured some more cold water over more Eastern teams, i.e., a Quebec team, and certainly a second Toronto team. It's nowhere on the landscape right now. Do you think he gets emotional because it's very wrong, or does he get emotional about it because where there's smoke, there's fire? There's clearly smoke, and in this Las Vegas thing, there's clearly something building there.
He was upset. He gets upset when things get announced before, you know, he's ready to announce them.
Sure.
And that Vegas one got out before he wanted it to get out. And that turned out to be one where, and it was Tony Gallagher of Vancouver who reported that, and everybody said it wasn't true. And it turned out Tony was bang on and 100% correct. And now there's all of a sudden there's some talk about Milwaukee coming out, which, you know, kind of surprises me a little bit. But, you know, I do believe that, you know, I've always been a person who believes at some point in my lifetime there will be a second team in Toronto. But, you know, the commissioner, he likes to manage the message.
Elliot Friedman, our guest. I was thinking the other day, so it's 5-6 years ago, and I know I'm going back, but I think it's 2009 or maybe 2010, and the St. Louis Blues were dreadful, and they had a young David Backes and all this, and they won a game in overtime against the Bruins on Martin Luther King Day, I believe it was, and from that moment on, they just exploded, and they ended up getting into the playoffs as a fifth seed, and it was incredible. Chris Mason was the goalie, and so every year I get to this Martin Luther King Day, I believe, or maybe it was Columbus Day. And I think, okay, who's going to be
close?
Very different men.
Well,
also, MLK and Columbus were very different moral codes.
It was a holiday of sorts. It was an early game in Boston.
Okay,
bear with me here.
Abraham Lincoln's birthday.
So I always wonder. This isn't about Dr. King. I always wonder who's going to be that team, like the team that you think no chance, but they still do it. We're debating Dallas a little bit this morning. Yeah. I mean, I would love to say Columbus, but then Bobrovsky goes out.
Yeah.
Who's that group for you this year? Is there that team that's going to come up the middle?
Like the team that's out of the playoffs now, or a team that you think is in that maybe goes farther than we think?
It could be either. If you have an opinion,
I really like Detroit. You know, I think they're better than, you know, nobody really talks about them a lot. I like watching them, and they're really fast. I don't know if personnel-wise they're as good as some of the other teams around them, but I like them a lot. And the other team that gets a lot of credit, even though they laid an egg last night, there's a lot of people in the West who say that the team they do not want to see early is Winnipeg. And the goaltending isn't the most solid there. I mean, we'll see, you know, what the kid does in the playoffs. Mm. But that is a big, strong team that can run you out of a building. And ever since Bufflin went back to the blue line, they're a completely different group. So those are probably the two teams I would name. I mean, it basically looks like the Eastern teams are almost set, and we're going to have three Canadian teams pretty much. And although I think Winnipeg's going to get in, along with Calgary and Vancouver battling for that last playoff spot, I think LA is going to get in. But I look at the Jets and I look at the Red Wings and I see two teams that don't get a lot of credit. But in particular, a lot of people out West on other teams say that Winnipeg is that group you don't want to see in the first round, because even if you beat them, they're going to take a physical toll out of you.